to the book of Genesis. Once again, the book of Genesis and chapter 19. We have seen a couple weeks ago, back in chapter 13 and in verse number 13, where the Bible declared that the men of Sodom were wicked and they were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Not just normal sinners, they were exceedingly sinful. And the text that we're going to be dealing with this evening, it's a difficult text, simply because of the fact it gives to us a very vivid picture and a very vivid description of Sodom's wicked sin. And the wicked sin that was prominent in the city of Sodom was the sin of homosexuality. Now, we're living in a day when people are being brainwashed. They're being brainwashed by the news media, being brainwashed by politicians, being brainwashed by psychologists and psychiatrists and all other avenues. And we're told over and over again that homosexuality is the result of a person's genetic code, or it's a result of their DNA. In other words, people are born homosexual for the same reason that some people are born with blonde hair and blue eyes. Just born that way. It was in their DNA. It was in their genetic code. There are others who will claim that homosexuality is the result of various biological factors that are working in a person's life. And so because of these things that we're being told, people have begun to think that when it comes to homosexuality, lesbianism, sexual perversion, people have the idea that, well, since we can't help it, we're born this way. It's almost to the point where they would dare to say, God made me what I am.
Yeah.
And it's because of this that many people have accepted the idea that since people have no choice in the matter, then therefore homosexuality and lesbianism must be an acceptable alternative lifestyle. Now that's the wisdom of the world. That's the reasoning of men. But the Bible clearly states something that is very different. The Bible makes it very clear. Let me give you a couple of verses here that we're going to just mention. And Leviticus 18 and verse number 22. In Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, the Lord God is very clear. And here's what He said. He said, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." In other words, men are not to have relations with other men in the same way that men have natural relations with women. And the Bible says if you do that, God said, that is an abomination. In other words, that is something God hates, because it goes against the natural order that God ordained in the creation. Remember, in the creation, God created man and woman. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Okay? And so God made it very clear. Listen to this one, Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. And just to show you how much God hates this thing, listen to the penalty. They shall surely be put to death. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be on them. In other words, they have brought it on themselves. You see, homosexuality is not about your DNA code. It's not even about your biological makeup. Homosexuality is a choice. And that's why God said your blood will be on your own head. If you are guilty of this, there's the penalty, and you've brought it on yourself. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul, over in the book of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, in a list of individuals for whom the law of God was intended, a list of individuals for whom the law of God is intended, the Apostle Paul in verse number 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said this. In that list, he included, for, the law is for whoremongers, comma, for them that defile themselves with mankind. The point I want to make this evening is simply this. God's law is not only against the homosexual or the lesbian who perverts the sexual act as God intended it and created it to be. It's not only against them. Notice that God said that His law is also for the heterosexual. The heterosexual who perverts God's parameters for sex inside the marriage relationship. That's why the whoremonger and the homosexual are both listed in that same verse. Both of them are equally wicked, and both of them are equally offensive to God. Now, the reason I say that is simply because I don't want you to walk out of here and say, well, I'm not a homosexual, but it's okay to cat around. Well, no, it's not. God is against all of it. All perversion, whether it's homosexual perversion or whether it's heterosexual perversion, all perversion of God's order and God's laws concerning sexual relationships, God said, I hate that. It's an abomination. But in the city of Sodom, it was the homosexual lifestyle that had become the prevalent form of perversion. And in our text today, that's the very thing that we're going to see in a very graphic, sickening kind of a way. And so I want us to begin by remembering, last time, you remember, we saw that heavenly delegation. It was a fact-finding delegation who came on a mission in Genesis chapter 18, verse 20 to 21 to search out and to see if Sodom was as bad as it appeared. Now, let me explain something here for you just very quickly. God knew exactly what Sodom was like. He did not need to visit Sodom to find out what Sodom was like. Remember in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. There's no place that God doesn't see, and there's no place you can go to escape and to do something that God won't know about. God knew exactly what was going on in Sodom, but the purpose of the heavenly delegation was so that Abraham and so that Lot might see the vileness of the city, and that they might see and understand that God was absolutely justified in the terrible judgment that He's fixing to send upon that place. And so two angels came to Sodom. We saw how that Lot pleaded with them not to spend the night in the streets of that city. Lot pleaded with them to come into his home, that he would share a meal with them and he would provide with them a place where that they would be able to stay. Now we come to our text, verse 4. The Bible says, but before they lay down. In other words, it did not take long for the true nature of Sodom to be revealed. And as this story foretold unfolds, of a city that is totally given to perversion, there are four things that we want to notice. Number one, the demand of the wicked. The demand of the wicked. There are three things that we want to mention that we find here in the text concerning the demand of these wicked men. Number a letter A. I want you to notice it was organized. In verse number 4, the Bible says, before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both young and old. All the people from every quarter. In other words, those men were men from every demographic of the city. They made up every person group of the city. There were men from every age group. There were young and old. There were men from every social level. They were from every quarter of that city. And this organized mob came to the house of Lot, and they came with a strategy. And the strategy is seen in the fact that the Bible says that they compassed the house around. They compassed the house around. In other words, this group had organized themselves with the determination that they would satisfy their filthy lust, and they wanted to make sure that there was no way that their intended victims would be able to escape. And so they made a strategy. We'll circle the house. We'll circle the house. Letter B. Not only was this an organized mob, but I want you to notice a second thing concerning the demand of the wicked, and that is this. It was unashamed. It was unashamed. A fellow by the name of Gervase Babington. He was a bishop in the Church of England. He died in 1610, the year before the King James Bible was published. And Bishop Babington said this. He said, at the beginning, men shame to have it known what they do, though they fear not to do it, and they will use all cloaks and covers. They can hide their wickedness, but at last they grow bold and impotent, even to say, what care we? What care we? That's the attitude we find in our text. Notice in verse number 5, the Bible says, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. They were not wanting to get acquainted. That's not what it means when it said they wanted to know them. They were wanting to know them in the same way the Bible says that Adam knew his wife Eve. That was their intention. That was their desire. In other words, to put it in modern terminology, these men had come out of the closet. They had come out of the closet and they were unashamed to flaunt their perverted behavior. Totally unashamed. Totally unashamed. Let her see. It was violent. It was violent. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." Do you see the violence there? Those men did not wish to be introduced in a friendly way. Rather, they wanted to know them in a perverted, sexual, carnal way, and to be disgustingly plain here. It was not intended to be a consensual relationship. In other words, they were not asking the angels if they wanted to be involved. The demand was, bring them out and we will know them. It was a violent thing. It was a violent thing. In other words, it was basically going to be a violent raping by a perverted mob, was what it was going to be. Violent. Number 2, notice the anger of the wicked. The anger of the wicked is very clearly seen as we turn our focus now from the mob and we turn our focus now to Lot. And notice a couple of things here. First of all, we see Lot's plea. We see Lot's plea in verse 6 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him." In other words, when they are banging on the door and making their demand, Lot sort of slips over, and you know how you do when you try to slip out, you don't want anybody outside to be able to see in or whatever, you know, and you kind of ease out the door and then shut it real quick and stand in front of it. That's what Lot did. And so Lot went out at the door unto them, shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Lot referred to them as brethren. That kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth, doesn't it? However, the Hebrew word that is translated here is actually a word that through the Scripture is used to speak of two things. First of all, of a literal physical relationship, as in brothers, okay, family. And it's also used in a metaphorical sense to speak of an affinity or resemblance. Now obviously Lot was not physically, he was not physically related to these men, and so therefore the meaning is simply that Lot was claiming an affinity to them. We are citizens of the same city. And what you're doing, it's really not good, and it's going to give us a bad name. And brethren, don't do this. In other words, Lot's plea, as an official of Sodom, as a judge of the city, Lot's plea was simply that their city should escape embarrassment. That's what he was concerned about. So we notice Lot's deal. His deal, letter B. People tend to take on the characteristics of those they associate with. People tend to take on the characteristics of that's why, and I'm looking particularly at these fine, handsome young men right here on the front. Well, except for Luke. who you choose as your friends. It's very important. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? In youth fellowship. And the reason why it's very important is because you take on the characteristics of who you hang out with. That's why it's so important that we follow biblical examples. Follow biblical examples. Follow examples like the example of David in Psalm 119, verse 63, when he said, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts." Who did David choose for his friends? He chose people that feared God and obeyed God. That's who he chose for his friends. He didn't want to have friends with those who were ignoring God's word and rebelling against God's word, because David did not want those types of friends to become a spiritual anchor that would drag him down. We need to follow biblical examples. We need to obey biblical commandments. In Proverbs 9:6, it says, "Forsake the foolish and live." In other words, forsake those that are walking contrary to God's law. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, Paul says, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." We need to follow biblical examples. We need to obey biblical commands. But Lot had ignored all of that. He had ignored the godly separation of Abraham. And he had chosen to join himself with the wicked. And even though there is no evidence that Lot ever became like the men of Sodom, it certainly caused his thinking to be perverted. How perverted was it? I'm just going to read it, and I'll make no comment. Verse 8. "Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Lot's offer of his virgin daughters to be shamed and abused by that wicked mob shows how morally low and how totally perverted even a Christian can become when his focus is on the world instead of on the Word. However, because the men of Sodom were so given to their perversion, I want you to notice letter C, Lot's rejection. Notice what they said. Verse number 9, "And they said, stand back." In other words, don't hinder us. Don't try to stop us. Don't try to get in our way. Our mind's made up. We love our sin and we will not be hindered. Stand back. Notice while they threatened. Verse number 9, "And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn and he will needs be a judge." Now, notice the threat. "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." Notice how they acted. Verse 9, "They pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." So we see the growing anger. See the growing hostility of this mob. Because of the fact that they were being denied the perverted pleasures that they desired. But then I want you to notice, number three, the frustration of the wicked. And notice two things. Their plan, letter A, their plan was thwarted. In verse number 10, but the men put forth their hand. This is those two angels of God. Remember, Lot had stepped out and had shut the door. But now these two men, the Bible says, put forth their hand and they pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. In other words, they rescued him. They rescued him. Their plan was thwarted. But not only that, I want you to notice that their objective was hidden. Their objective was hidden. The men of Sodom were already spiritually blinded. And they were already morally blinded. They were like animals raging to satisfy their own lust. By the way, isn't it interesting, when I was preparing for this message, I was looking at some stuff and I came across one article on the internet written from a pro-gay position. And it was interesting that the gay writers, the lesbian writers, are seeking to prove that their same-sex lifestyle is normal. And it's interesting, they try to prove that it is normal by going to the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, you know, there are certain animals who practice, you know, same-sex relations, and so you know, the animals do it, so... Duh. However, contrary to the opinions of those who are brainwashed by the teachings of evolution, men did not descend from animals. Men were created in the image and the likeness of the Lord God, Genesis 1:27. And since we did not descend from animals, we are certainly not to live on the level of animals. Just because animals do it doesn't make it right for men to do it. What kind of stupid thinking is that anyway? Somebody with a brain the size of a hairball. Well, we're to live on a higher level. We're to live according to the laws of our Creator. And because they were spiritually blinded, because they were morally blinded, the men of Sodom pursued after an unnatural, perverted lifestyle. And as a result, verse number 11, the Bible says, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both great and small. After they pulled Lot inside, the men refused to give up. They continued to press, and finally the angel said, that's it, and smote them with blindness. But then notice number four, the persistence. The persistence of the wicked. After being struck with physical blindness by the angels of God, you would think that the men would give up their plan. What, wouldn't you think so? I mean, after being struck with physical blindness, you'd think, you know what? I really don't think this was a good idea, Dan. Let's go home. You know, I really think we shouldn't be doing. And not these fellas. Because you see, men who are controlled by their wicked lust, men who are controlled by the wicked lust of their flesh, they are never reasonable. They're never reasonable. Many times I've heard my dad make the statement that there is an insanity in sin. There's an insanity in sin. And here is absolute proof of the truthfulness of that statement. Absolute proof. After they had been struck with blindness, those men continued groping for the door, trying to find the handle, trying to find some way to get inside to satisfy the filthy, perverted desires of their flesh. In fact, verse 11 says they wearied themselves to find the door. They just wore themselves out trying to find the door. Such was the gross and perverted debauchery and wickedness of Sodom. When those men were struck with the blindness that God sent upon them, that was the first blow of God's judgment. That was the first blow of God's judgment. But instead of repenting, they persisted in their sin, and therefore, in less than 12 hours. Now for us, it's going to be next week. But for them, in less than 12 hours, the city is going to be totally destroyed. It's going to be totally wiped off the face of the earth. Their lives are going to be lost. Their properties are going to be lost. Families are going to be lost. And the only thing I can say is the Bible makes it abundantly clear in Proverbs 13:25, the way of the transgressor is hard. You can sin against God. You can choose to ignore God. You can choose to go your own way. But let me tell you something. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. As we'll see from the life of Lot, that truth applies to rebellious believers just as much as it applies to the most vile and the most wicked of men. Because Lot is going to suffer as well. And so may God help each one of us tonight to just understand a little bit of how terrible sin is in the sight of God. And may God help us to beware of sin, and may God help us to follow after righteousness as we should. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father,